All right, so we're going to be in Genesis chapter 18. So last time we went through Genesis 17, and we talked about how the Lord appeared to Abram when he was 99 years old. And he said to him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." And this comes at a time where Abram had just done something in the previous chapter where he kind of got ahead of God a little bit. And he did something in the flesh, and it didn't work out too well. But God was very patient with him, and he was leading him to... For lack of a better way to say it, he was leading him to higher ground, like we have in that hymn, "Lord, lead me on to higher ground." And the thing that he makes a covenant with him in this chapter, and it's going to be in his flesh, and that was the covenant of circumcision, which we saw in Romans as a seal of the righteousness that he had, the righteousness of faith, which he had being yet uncircumcised, before he was circumcised.
Right.
But that was a seal. And God says, in order to keep this covenant with me, you're going to have to cut something off. It's going to be part of your flesh. And that was kind of symbolic in a way of, you know, something that it says in the New Testament. I gave you guys a verse at the end of last time, and now I can't remember where that verse was. Does anybody remember what it was?
1 Corinthians 7?
1 Corinthians 7, okay.
Verse 1, maybe?
7:1. That sounds right. So I'm just going to read that real quick. That is not 1 Corinthians 7:1.
No? Okay. Go listen to me.
At the end, I think at the end you mentioned 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 7:1.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 7:1.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yes. And this is very fitting for this point in Abraham's life. It says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved," and he had great and precious promises from the Lord, he says, "let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God."
Amen.
And that's what God was calling Abraham to, and that's the same thing that he's calling us to.
Man.
As you can see in this verse. That act of circumcision, that was it was giving up some filth of the flesh. And that's what we have to do if we want to be perfect with the Lord. So we're going to get right into chapter 18. And I'm just going to do the first half of this chapter this morning. So I'm going to read down to verse 15. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I wax old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." Amen. So, we're going to go through this a little bit at a time, starting with verse 1. It says, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." I don't have a lot to say about this, but this is, we know that Abraham, the Lord led him through the land of Canaan over a number of years, and I actually kind of got the impression that he was just kind of moving from this place to that place, and just kind of moving all over the place throughout his life, but that's actually not the case. If you go back to Genesis 13, we're not going to turn there now, but that's actually where he moved to the plain of Mamre, and he's been there for probably about 20 years at this point. This is back before Lot was captured when that big war was at. That was back before that. And then Ishmael was born when he was 86, and now he's 99. So this is like 20 years that he's been in this place, in the plain of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So just to kind of set the scene here, so this is the heat of the day. They're living out in the desert. And Abraham's the patriarch. He's got this whole tribe of people that are with him. He's got a lot of people following him. He's got a large household, servants. He's got herdmen. And at this point, he's 99 years old. Okay, he's sitting in the tent door because there's shade there. But at the same time, he can kind of like see what's going on outside the tent. He can probably oversee what's going on inside the tent. It's a nice little place for a 99-year-old man. Okay? Verse 2. "And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground." So it says three men stood by him, but this is him looking, lifting up his eyes and looking. This is Abraham's perspective. He saw three men, okay? They're not actually three men, but that's what he saw with his eyes, okay? As we go through this and actually into the next chapter, we're going to see that these three men, one of them's God, and there's also with him two angels, okay? What's his reaction to this, to the men that he saw? Well, I want to say first, he didn't at first know that this was God and his angels. He did not know this. And you'll be able to see that by his reaction here. But not knowing that it was God, this is what he did. He made himself of no reputation, which, I mean, he was one of the greatest men around. He made himself of no reputation, and he took the form of a servant. He didn't call one of his other servants and say, "Hey, go cater to these people. Go entertain them, or, you know, do whatever." He went himself, and what did he do? He bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Now you'll see that he called him Lord, and it's also capitalized. Capital letters don't exist in Hebrew. Okay, this was not written with a capital letter. And when Abraham is saying this, he doesn't say it with a capital letter. You don't say it with a capital letter. Okay? This capital letter was added by the King James translators, probably because they knew he was speaking to God. But Abraham didn't know that himself. So what does he do? He says, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight." So why does he call him Lord? He's being respectful, and he's taking the position of a servant. He doesn't realize that this is actually his Lord. This is actually God himself. but he's taking a position of the servant under someone and saying, you're the Lord here. I'm going to be the servant, and I'm serving you. What can I do for you? He says, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So he says, wash your feet, rest under the tree, and have some food. Okay? That's how you talk to a man. If God is coming to visit you, and you realize that he's God, you're probably not going to say, hey, why don't you take a rest, you know, wash your feet off, and I'll make you some food. That's probably not what you're going to do. You're going to fall on your face, and you're going to worship God. And, it's going to be a different situation, okay? This is something really special here, you have to realize. Part of the reason why it's special is because he didn't know it was God. One other comment that I have about this is actually verse 5 is one of the verses that the Lord used to teach me the value of fasting. You say, well, this verse is about eating, not fasting. Notice what he says. I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. When you eat bread, when you eat food, that's a comfort to your heart. That is natural. It gives you a sense of security. You watch the animals outside, you know, whenever they find food, what do? They eat it. It's a comfort to them. It's security to them. It gives them a promise of a little bit of extra life, you know. They get to survive a little bit longer. It's a comfort to your heart. As a matter of fact, some foods, we refer to them as comfort foods. So why am I talking about fasting? Fasting is taking away that comfort so that you can instead focus on being comforted by the God of all comfort.
Amen.
Okay? That's why fasting is so valuable, because now you're not taking your strength and your comfort from bread. You're taking your strength and your comfort from the Lord. And that's what it's meant to be. I also want to point out that he was urgent in this. He ran to meet them. And then in verse 6, he says to his wife, make ready quickly 3 measures of meal. Verse 7, Abraham ran unto the herd and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and he gave it to them, dressed it for them. And you'll notice that it was with haste. This was urgent to him. I think that Abraham was very excited to do this. He was very excited to serve, and he did this heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Even though, what did he see? He saw 3 men. But he could do this as unto the Lord and not unto men with his whole heart, because he was a servant of the Lord. And he understood, like, you know, who I am as a Christian. You know, Abraham wasn't, you know, in the time of Christ, he didn't really know Christ in you know, after the flesh, or have a record of him. But Abraham had the Spirit of Christ.
Right.
And we're going to see more of that as you go through this chapter. But just in what he's doing here, making himself a servant and going to these men and serving them like this, he's doing it as unto the Lord. And then he says, you know, after he says, wash your feet, rest under the tree, have some food, he says, for therefore are ye come. So you can see he's assuming that they're just weary travelers. This is what you came for. You came to, you know, have a little stop, rest, and have some food. This is early on in history. There probably weren't inns yet. It's not like he could go to the Hilton, you know?
Right.
That's what people would do, is they travel, they'd find someone, and hopefully find them hospitable, and maybe take some rest there, some lodging, get something to eat, you know, as long as they could get along. And Abraham was eager to do this. And notice that their response was, so do as thou hast said. And they did eat the food. Okay? This is God. Okay? He didn't say, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't need your roast beef. He could have said that. He didn't. Why? Because he wanted to give Abraham that opportunity to serve him and to do this good work unto him. It reminds me of when Mary came to Jesus as he was eating, and she's washing his feet with her hair and with her tears, and she poured that precious ointment on his feet. And the Lord said, let her alone. She's doing a good work unto me. And he let her do it. And I think that's what God is doing here. It's not because he needed the food, or he needed the rest, or he needed his feet washed, but he's letting Abraham do this thing. And that's a lesson that we can learn from the Lord here, because sometimes, you know, people want to do good things to you, and, you know, sometimes our first reaction is maybe a little bit of pride, and we say, well, I don't need that. Go ahead and let them do it. Why? Because they're doing a good work. And it might not even be unto you. It might be unto the Lord. So let them do it.
Amen.
Amen. And then the last thing I want to say about this is that, you know, sometimes we make the rules for God. And we say, well, God does this, or he does that, and he doesn't do this, and he won't do this. And, you know, I mean, God was manifest in the flesh later on in history. He came as a man. He was the Word of God. He's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Right?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, we might, from wherever, just get the idea that, like, well, that's the only time that God could do it. He couldn't have done it any other time, or he wouldn't have, or whatever. The Bible even says, God is not a man. And that happened before he became a man. But it says he's not a man. But wait, before this, you know what? God appeared in a form where he could actually eat food. And his angels too. So I'm not going to do some big teaching on this, but just keep that in mind. God is God. He is the Almighty God, like we talked about. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. God can do this. And he did this. He was actually here on earth visiting Abraham face to face together with two of his angels, and they ate man's food. And I was just thinking this morning, that's interesting, because in the book of Psalms, it says that man did eat angels' food. Talking about the manna that came from heaven. Well, here's angels eating man's food. Interesting. So they said, so do as thou hast said, and they did eat. And then we get down to verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And now we're getting to the point where they're going to start understanding who their company is. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son.
Man.
Now God already told him this in the previous chapter. This was not new to Abraham. No, Abraham had already come to terms with this, okay? His reaction at first was like, you know, can't we just do this with Ishmael? You know, I mean, this seems a little extreme, God. But he's like, no, this is my will, this is my plan, this is what's going to happen, and you're going to call his name Isaac, which means laughter, because you laughed. But all this seems to be unknown to Sarah at this point. And her reaction is going to be quite similar. So he says, lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind it. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I waxed? After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Okay? What is she saying? She's like 90 years old here, and her husband is 100 years old. He's 99, okay? But we're too old to have a child. Not only that, but we're kind of too old to even have the preliminaries, if you will. Okay? You guys know what I'm talking about. She laughed within herself, and God knew it. And I think that's kind of convincing, you know. She laughed within herself, and she denied. She was like, "Well, I didn't laugh. I didn't do it outwardly." But God could even look past that and see within her and say, "You did laugh."
Right.
It was on the inside,
yeah.
But you did laugh.
Yep.
But there's some good things to look at here. Now, the way the Lord reprimands her, if you will, it's kind of light. He's like, it almost seems like he's teasing her. You know, verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not," for she was afraid. I mean, at this point, she's realizing, I shouldn't be laughing at God. That's who just told me this. Okay? Or he told Abraham and she heard it. But she says, "I laughed not, for she was afraid." And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." Well, what were the consequences of laughing at this? Well, nothing. God doesn't punish her. He doesn't bring some kind of judgment on her. He just tells her, "No, I know that you laughed." And that's it. That's it. That's all you see there. Okay? Why? Why does that happen? Well, this was a thing unheard of. A 90-year-old woman marrying a child. This was a thing unheard of. And Sarah didn't have a Bible to go back and look at these stories that happened long ago when God did something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first time.
Right.
Okay? And God's understanding that. Like, this is kind of a weird, unnatural thing that just doesn't happen. So, but I'm going to tell you, I'm gonna reinforce this to help you get over that little hurdle of doubt and just realize that this is about me, this is about what I can do, not what you can do. And that was good enough for her. And you don't really see that here. You don't see this great faith of Sarah in this chapter, but you'll read about it later on. And we'll get to that. But first, actually, I want to compare her to a couple of other people in a similar situation. Go to Luke chapter 1. And I want to show you the difference. See, Sarah didn't have the scripture. She didn't have the example of someone else who went before to have that faith in, you know, the God who had already done this. But Zacharias did. And Zacharias was a priest. And he was familiar with the scripture. And he knew the story of Abraham and Sarah. And this is what happened. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. The angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Go down to verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." That is the exact same situation as Abraham and Sarah. And he, knowing the story of Abraham and Sarah,
right,
should have believed and said, "Okay, I know you can do it, Lord."
Right.
And because of that, because he had that, and he didn't believe, there's a judgment here. And the angel answering said, verse 19, said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." again, you see the same kind of thing where he's like, you know what? I'm going to do it. The Lord is going to do it. This thing shall be fulfilled in its season.
Right.
That's similar to what he said in back in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is Zechariah should have known. He should have believed, and he didn't. And that's why the Lord was more severe. Here's someone else who had the scripture and was very familiar with that story of Abraham and Sarah. That's Mary.
Mm.
Look down further in this chapter, you're going to see a difference here. Verses 34 to 38. The angel appeared to her and told her, you're going to have a son. And verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See, Mary had an even more extreme case. It's not just that she's old. She's not old. She's very young. It wasn't that she was old. I mean, that would have been pretty impossible. She was a virgin. That was even more impossible. But the angel explains to her. He overcomes her objection there, or her doubt, if you will. Or it's basically more just a question. How is this going to happen? Like, you know, Joseph? Or, you know, what's going to happen here? I'm a virgin. And he explains. This is going to be the Son of God. It's going to be the Holy Ghost that does this. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren.
Amen.
For with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
And that's the lesson. And you know what? They didn't have the scripture back then, and God had to, you know, just kind of speak a little bit more to them and just reassure them, I'm the Almighty God, and I'm going to do this. And that was enough, and they had the faith. These people, they had the scripture. One believed, and one didn't. And that's just the way it goes, you know. It says at the end of the book of Acts, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Now the Lord was merciful to Zacharias in the end, and it turned out well. But just a couple other things I want to look at. She said, I am waxed old, my Lord being old also. They needed strength because they were weak in their old age. Go to Romans chapter 4. I know we've looked at this chapter a few times already because it's all about the life of Abraham. Really explains some things. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Again, just talking about the weakness. It says in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Right.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God,
man,
and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Again, they were weak in body. They were as good as dead in body, but strong in faith.
Man.
Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and this is where it talks more about Sarah. Verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age.
Right.
Because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Good.
Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead,
mm-hmm,
as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. There it tells you, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Why? What did she do? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Yeah, she had a little doubt at the beginning. Yeah, she laughed, and the Lord said, well, you know what? Let me reassure her. Let me make this promise sure to the point where she's not laughing anymore.
Mm.
And then he did it. And she believed. She judged him faithful. So we don't see the end of that story in Genesis, but we see it here. She did judge him faithful, and that's where they got the strength. To go along with this, go to Isaiah chapter 40. This is like perfect verses for this. Sometimes there's verses in the Bible that just go so perfectly with something else in the Bible that I kind of wonder, like, were they actually thinking of that story when they wrote this? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Yeah, think about that in context of Genesis 18. There is no searching of his understanding. See, he's the one with the strength. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength.
Man.
Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Glory to God.
You know what they did? They actually, like, literally waited on God there.
Right.
In Genesis 18.
Man.
Like a waiter would take your order and bring you the stuff, you know? They were actually waiting on God. And you know what he did? He renewed their strength and made it possible for them to do something that was completely impossible for them.
Amen.
For with God, all things are possible.
Yes, sir.
So we're pretty much done there. Just going to take you to one more verse. This is in Hebrews chapter 13. And again, I really believe that Paul had this story in mind when he wrote this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Right.
What were Abraham and Sarah doing? They were entertaining angels unaware.
Mm.
I think Paul is referring to that story when he wrote this. And when I say story, just to clarify, it's a true story.
Right.
It really happened. This is real history. Okay? But I have a feeling he was thinking about that when he wrote that. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Again, Abraham was unawares of what was going on there. He didn't realize who was in his company until further on.
Right.
But Paul writes this for believers in this age. He's writing this to people. This is after the New Testament has begun. Okay? He's writing this to us, if you will. Okay, I know it's addressed to the Hebrews, but he's writing this to us, for us, so that we can understand this could actually happen. Okay? There's nothing in the Bible to limit God or to say, well, you know, he won't do this with angels anymore, or he won't appear anymore, or he won't do this, he won't do that. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. This could happen, okay? But you're not supposed to, like, you know, I'm going to be nice to this person because after all, he might be an angel, or this might be God himself. No, do it like Abraham. You know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, treat people the way that he wants you to treat them.
Right.
Let brotherly love continue.
Man.
By love, serve one another.
Yes, sir. Right.
And that be pleasing in the sight of God. Amen.
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 All right. So, that's it for Sunday school. Thanks for being here.
Stuff,